A lot of people.
Okay, so we're on Daf Yutes Amud Beis. We're almost up to the Mishnah. We have just a few lines to go over. It's a little bit of an agadata. So you'll see this about four lines before the Mishnah. It says, Omar Rab Chir Bar Abba, Omar Rab Yochanan, Maitich Siv. So we're looking now at a pasuk in Sefer Shmos. Let's see if I got this right. Where is it?
Dvarim Tes Yud.
Oh, Dvarim Tes Yud. Excellent.
I only know that because
he tells you. He says Kichol. It says Maitich Siv Va'alehem on the Luchos Kichol Hadvarim Shadibra Hashem Imachem Bahar. And the Gemara says that these two words, bichol or kichol hadvarim, are extra superfluous. It's not necessary. Could have said, v'alehem hadvarim asher dibra Hashem. So what's the ribu here of kichol hadvarim? And this is referring to the 40 days and 40 nights that Moshe was up on the har. What did he receive from Hashem? And the answer is kichol hadvarim. Malami Cheher Ohu HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. It's together with the Torah Shebichtav that Moshe Rabbeinu received at Har Sinai, which I guess you'd call Pshuto Shel Mikra. He also received, number one, Dikduke Torah, number two, Dikduke Sofrim, and number three, Masha Sofrim Asidim LeChadish. So the three categories here that the Gemara includes here under the ribui of Kechol HaDvarim. Let's go through the three. So the first category is Dikduke Torah. And I have here a summary of Rashi. He says, Dikduke Torah is Hadinim Shenilmedu, the laws that are derived mean Dikdukim B'Loshen HaTorah. For example, if there's an extra word in the Torah, we derive dinim from those extra words. So this is the first level of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's called the Duke Torah. The examples are the word es, which comes l'rabos, or gam, or ach and rak, which are mi'utim. So we have ribuyim and mi'utim. Those are called the Duke Torah. Then we have something called the Duke Sofrim. He says these are the dinim that later generations would derive from earlier generations. And it means that even that which is going to come down the line later on in history, even those parts of Torah were revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu. He has in a note that the Rashbam in Baba Basra says that the Dikduke Sofrim are gzeros shegozru chachamim kidesh lo yavo liday isur Torah. So we have two interpretations now of the Dikduke Sofrim. It's either the Achronim who are medaktik in the Rishonim, or it's gzeros derabonim. The Ran in Droshus Aran says that the Dikduke Sofrim is a reference to all machlokos, all controversies, the chiluke svaros ben chachme Yisrael, shekulon lomdon Moshe Rabbeinu l'mashal mipi agvura. Moshe Rabbeinu was taught all the future debates that would arise amongst chachme Yisrael, v'shetia hachra kifi askomas chachme ador. So the Dor itself would come to some sort of consensus as to how we pask in halacha. Then we have the third category is Masha Sofrim. Sofrim is a reference to the Chachamim that are called Sofrim because they're able to count the letters of the Torah. Is Asidim Lechadish. Now it could be that this last category is derived from the extra chaf, right? It says not only kol advarim, but it says kichol advarim. Mm-hmm. Morning. So he says the following. that even some chidush that is not based on neither a pasuk in the Torah or a drasha from an extra word in the Torah, nor is it based on a gzeirah d'rabbanon, and even something that has no machlokas, there's no controversy over it, but the sofer and the chacham are going to be machadish, a new enterprise, a new mitzvah, that too was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai. Now, I don't know how to translate. You tell me what you have in your, but I don't know how to translate these words, my nihu. Does my nihu mean I'm going to give you one example of Sofer Masidim Miskadesh, or if my nihu means, and this is the one single halachic entity which fits under this description of Sofer Masidim Miskadesh, and he says, Mikra Megillah.
Here's what he says. My nihu is mahu. That's the translation. Mahu hador she'asofrim hasidim lishadesh u'mikro megillah.
I don't know. I don't like it. It's hard for me to believe that mikro megillah is exclusive. That the only chiddush of dikduke sofrim is mikro megillah. Like take for example netilas yadayim. Or Yichud, according to the Gemara, seems to be a Dikduke Sofrim, Sofrim Achisinus. Or, for example, Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. You know, what about Hanukkah? Why isn't that? You can tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu only found out about Megillah, not about Hanukkah? Does that make sense to you? I'm not happy with this. Let me just read to you the footnote.
I don't think he
helps me too much, but I'll read to you the footnote. He quotes a Gemara earlier that we had in the Agadat on Daf Tes Zayin, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Megillah that says Divrei Sholom V'Emes, which is towards the end of the Megillah. Mm. And Omer Rabbi Tanchum Nolamed Shetzricha Sirtut Ke'amita Shel Torah. I think we had a discussion about that when we studied it. Yes. Now, what's happening here is that the halach of Sirtut as a requirement in Megillah is derived from Divrei Sholom V'Emes. Now, does that put Megillah into a separate category? I don't know if that would answer my question. Then he quotes another interpretation that Hakavona leMegillah Mishum Shekasim Shom Mitoch HaKol. And in Megillah it says Nikalu HaYehudim. So again, all this is very nice and fine, but I still don't understand. Now, maybe we could quote here the Shagasari that we've mentioned in the past, that Megillah is Divrei Kabbalah. So maybe Megillah has a separate status. You can't say that about Hanukkah or about any other mitzvah d'Rabbanan. But once again, I'm still confused here as to why Megillah is singled out. Okay, let's begin our new limud for today.
Footnotes on the issue.
Yeah, I'm just saying I was disappointed here, but you know, it requires a lot more careful study. So we begin a new Mishnah, which is always good, right? The Mishnah says the following. Hakol ksherim likros es hamegila, chutz micheresh shote v'katan. Now, this is a very typical Mishnah. We know that cheresh shote v'katan are three categories that are considered lav b'nei deyaninhu, and they're not capable of halachic mitzvah, and they certainly cannot serve to be motzi acherim yidei chovasam. So hakol ksherim likros ha-megillah means that everyone or anyone could be motzi someone else in mikra megillah. The question is going to be about noshim. That's going to be a tremendous debate. Right? We had the Bahag Shita that women cannot be motzi men. They're only chayv in shmiyah, not in kriya. Tosa seems to assume that women have the same status as men with regard to mikra megillah, and a woman could be motzi a man. So according to Tosfos, it's very possible that the word hakol ksherim, because of some Megillah, is coming to be marbe noshim. But the exclusion here is cheresh shota v'kotam. Now, if the subject of this mission is who's reading the Megillah, and who could be motzi the rabbim yedei chavasam, then what does the word cheresh mean by definition? Right, we're talking about three categories of people who want to read the Megillah on behalf of the Tzibur, and they cannot be motzi the Tzibur. So what is the cheresh then? How do you translate the word cheresh into English? I can't hear you.
Mm-hmm.
What does cheresh mean?
Normally
it means a deaf mute. It can't possibly be a deaf mute. Because otherwise, a mute is not capable of reading the Megillah. I don't have to tell you that a mute person can't be motzi with the Megillah because he's not capable of reading the Megillah. It must be that the word cheresh here means a deaf person who's capable of speech, which is not, you know, that's not your general definition of a cheresh.
Well, maybe the default for someone who was deaf is you couldn't speak. And today we have people who are deaf and who can obviously, we can communicate with them. So,
but I'm just saying that, that this deaf person that we're speaking about is not mute. He's capable of speaking. He's capable of reading the Megillah. He may have become deaf at some point in his life, or maybe he was born deaf, but they were able to teach him how to speak.
Right.
So obviously he's capable of speech, and therefore he's not a shota. He's not, you know, he doesn't have a problem in terms of his lucidity, if there's such a word.
Yes.
He's certainly lucid. So therefore in the footnote he says, V'eino kishar stam chirish shedibu chachav b'chol mokum she'eino shemeh v'lo medaber. He's a deaf mute. V'nechshav kir shote v'eino bardas. He says, take for example the first Mishnah in Masechta Trumos, that says that everyone's kosher for first truma except for a cheresh. There it's a deaf mute. Masha'enkein zeh, this cheresh in our Mishnah, harei kore, he's reading Megillah, imkeinu bardas, he certainly has absolute clarity of thought, elo she'eino shomer, he doesn't hear. And for some reason, if he doesn't hear, he cannot be motzi others in the mitzvah of Megillah. That somehow the word, well, I shouldn't say the word, but the concept of Shmi, of listening and hearing the Megillah is critical in the mitzvah of the Megillah. So in the case of Afarshas Truma, you don't have to hear anything. And a Cheresh, if he's only capable of speech, and if he's a Bardas, would be able to be Mafresh Truma, and that would be valid. Such a Cheresh, who's capable of speech, has the same din as you and I, as any other person. In all halacha, we recognize and validate his actions, whether it's his kinyanim, his gittin for kiddushin, whether or not it's his mitzvos, and he could be a shliach, and so forth and so on. The only problem is, when the mitzvah requires shmiah, and that's what we have to see about Kriyas HaMegillah, is it enough to read the Megillah if you have to hear the Megillah? Then, if we assume you have to hear the Megillah, this cheresh, although he's a bardas, since he's incapable of hearing the Megillah, therefore he's excluded from this mitzvah specifically. He's not excluded from other mitzvahs. You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is, what about Kriyat Shema? Does Kriyat Shema require listening and hearing the Kriyat Shema, or is it just a matter of enunciating the words? But one thing is crystal clear here. When the Mishnah says Chutz Micheresh Shot V'Katan, it's not all Mikshachas. We shouldn't lump them all together. There's a fundamental difference here between Cheresh on the one hand and Shota V'Katan on the other hand. Shota V'Katan are capable of hearing, but they have a status of a lav bardas, and they're potter from all the mitzvahs. Cheresh is chayav in all the mitzvahs, and he has the status of a bardas. He's excluded here because he's not capable of hearing the Megillah, because apparently hearing the Megillah is a critical element in the mitzvah of Megillah. And if he can't hear the Megillah, and he's not Yotzei, then he can't be Motzi anyone else. He's a La Bar Chiyuva. But that's not to be equated with Shoten Katan in the same Mishnah, who are Lav B'nei Deyonin. Now, what is a Shota? So in the footnote, he tells you have to learn a Sugya in Chagiga.
You hear quotes from Yushalmi on this Mishnah, and says that the association here of Chiyuva Shota Katan, that's Shivata Elashon. In other words,
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's going to be the sugya. I was just trying to sort of give you a preview of the sugya that we're about to learn. In any event, he has a footnote here that says you should look in Masechta Chagiga if you want to understand who is a shote.
Who's a shote?
Because the Gemara in Chagiga gives what's called simonei shtus. Now, simonei shtus are not what you and I think they are. You know, we're not talking about mental retardation. For example, one of the simonei shtus is he sleeps in a cemetery. You know, that doesn't mean he's retarded. You know, he could have a 200 plus IQ, but there's something lacking in his maturity or in his social ability. Oh. And that's called a shota. And there are a number of different simonim of a shota. For example, a shota doesn't have any... he has no maturity in understanding finances. Like, if you give him something, he'll throw it into the river. You know, there's something obviously missing, but it's more of a what I would call an emotional issue than a retardation, the way we use that term. Now, when it comes to katan, we always divide katan into two subcategories. There's katan shehigia l'chinuch and katan shelo higia l'chinuch. Now, exactly what age is that? That's not clear, but let's assume it's 9. That's certainly an oversimplification. So if you're talking about a child who's 9 years old, then the Mishnah wants to tell me that despite the fact that he's obligated in Megillah to some extent, but it's only the Torah's Chinuch, he doesn't have the original real Chiyuv of Megillah. And if he's a Lav Bar Chiyuva, then just like a Shota cannot be Motzi in Megillah, so to a Katan can't be Motzi in Megillah. Kavzol Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda's machshir b'katan. He says that a katan can read the Megillah, but Rashi and the other Rishonim point out that that's only if he's a katan shegiya l'chinuch. If he's gil l'chinuch, then he does have a chiyuv of Megillah. Again, you and I could wonder back and forth, what is the nature of his chiyuv as a katan bar chinuch? Is it a general mitzvah of chinuch? Is it training, you know, just an exercise? Or is it really that specific mitzvah? In every single mitzvah, he has an obligation, midin chinuch. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, this is just Berzon talking, Rabbi Yehuda apparently understands that chinuch is specific. You take every single mitzvah, and you generate a chiyuv incumbent upon the katan vis-a-vis that mitzvah. So it's not that, you know, he's just getting into the mood in a general sense for all mitzvahs, but he's obligated to Megillah. And Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore, he becomes a bar chiyuva, and therefore he can be motzi, a gadol, his chiyuv. Now you might ask, but isn't it trade rabbanan? What do I mean to say? His chiyuv, the katan, is a secondary chiyuv. It's not the same primary chiyuv as a gadol. Even though gadol is only chayv mid rabbanan, a katan is chayv min rabbanon, but a katan is chayv on a trade rabbanon level. He's a double rabbanon. He's first of all rabbanon because Megillah itself is rabbanon. Secondly, it's rabbanon because he's a katan and he's only chayv midin chinuch, which is rabbanon.
Yeah, but it's chinuch. I mean, when it's a you're chayv in chinuch, you're not required to the same level. For example, you fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch if he heard most of Megillah, even if he missed some things, right? I mean, if he's learning it, but expecting, let's say, a 7 or 8 year old to listen to every word, is, you know what I mean?
So I'm not sure, Eric, what you're talking about, but I want to bring a support to what you're saying, but also a kasha to what you're saying. Is chinuch equal to a chiyuv d'rabbanan? Here's the case. This is a sugya in Brochus. Reuven is a gadol. He only ate a kezias of pas. He's chayv in birkas hamazon b'drabbanan. It's not for your chalpa v'savata. He didn't eat kidei sviya, but the rabbanan said you ate a kezias, you're chayv in birkas hamazon. Shimon is a katan. He ate kidei sviya. Can Shimon the katan, if he's a bar chinuch, be motzi ruven yidei chovasa? And this is going to be a machlok between Rashi and Tosus in Masechta Brachos. One way of understanding it is that now Shimon and Reuven are both chayv on the same level. And why is that? Reuven is chayv mid rabbanon because he only ate a kezias. Shimon is chayv mid rabbanon because he's a katan. And he's only a bar chiyuv mid rabbanon. And therefore it balances out, and they both have what's called chad rabbanon. However, if let's say Shimon would only eat a kezayis, then Shimon becomes a trade drabbanon. He's a drabbanon on two counts. Number one, because he only ate a kezayis. Number two, because he's a katan. And therefore he cannot be motzi a gadol. But let's say he had a full kebetz or kashir svia, whatever the details of Birkas Hamazon Doraisa is concerned. So had he been a gadol, he would be chayv Doraisa. So some Rishonim say he could be motzi a gadol who ate only kezayis. And this controversy about whether this katan, insofar as he ate kedei svia and his chayv min rabbanon b'toras chinuch, could be motzi a gadol who's chayv min rabbanon. That itself, that whole controversy, really revolves around this question: what is the nature of chinuch? Is there a chiyuv on this specific mitzvah, and therefore, as far as this mitzvah is concerned, vis-a-vis this mitzvah, the katan is a bar chiyuva, albeit a rabbanon, but he's a bar chiyuva vis-a-vis this mitzvah. No, he's not a bar chiyuva in this mitzvah. For him, the mitzvah is like an exercise. It's a training session. He's getting used to what we call hergel ha-mitzvahs. Well, no, as we said, it's a very specific mitzvah. That could be the machlokas here, possibly, between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say that a katan is not chayv in the mitzvah of Megillah, even if he's a bar chinuch. He's chayv in the mitzvah of chinuch, but don't call that Megillah. He's not chayv in Megillah. Megillah is just one expression of this general, all-encompassing chiyu to get used to mitzvahs. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, understands that there's a specific chiyu vis-a-vis each mitzvah individually unto itself. And in this case of Megillah, the katan becomes, through chinuch, a bar chiyuva in the mitzvah of Megillah. Alright, let's see the sugya inside, Rabbi Osai. Mantan, the whole sugya revolves around these two words. And that's going to take us all the way to the next Mishnah on Daf Yutes Amid Beis. Who is the author of our Mishnah? On Chaf Amid Aleph. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Why? Because our Mishnah seems to be of the opinion that a cheresh is completely excluded from Megillah. The Mishnah joins together cheresh with shota and katan. Now let's go with katan. According to the Tanakhama, it doesn't matter what age the katan is, he cannot be motzi a gadol. So if a gadol hears the Megillah reading of a katan, and for that matter, if he hears the Megillah reading of a shota, he's not yotze, period. Finito. There's nothing to discuss here. He's going to have to hear the Megillah again. And insofar as Cheresh is integrated together with Cheresh with Shota, I'm sorry, with Shota and Katan, if we assume it's all Miksha Achas, then Cheresh di'eved nami lo. In other words, we're not just saying that a Cheresh l'chatchil is not your ideal candidate for reading the Megillah, but no, he is not included in the mitzvah of Megillah, and he can't be motzi a pikeach, someone who's capable of hearing. Even b'di'evet it's possible, in the same way that Shota and Katan is b'di'evet possible. And we're going to soon see that the Gemara is going to push the envelope here, that there is one Tana who holds that although Cheresh lechatchila should not be your first choice to read the Megillah, but nevertheless be the evidence, if he read the Megillah, we yotze. And again, my introduction, which Eric, you missed, is that we're not talking about a classic Cheresh over here, which is a deaf mute. We're talking about a deaf person who's normal. He's included in all the mitzvahs, in all the halachas, in all kinyanim. He's a bardas. He's capable of reading the Megillah. He just doesn't hear the Megillah. So the Gemara identifies our Mishnah Rav Masna Rav Yosihi. And now we make an analogy. We're jumping from our Mishnah to a Mishnah in Masechta Brachos on Daf Tes Vav. And the subject of the Mishnah is Kriyat Shema. And the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is being equated here with the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, because in both cases you read a text, and the question is, does the recitation of the text require that you hear what you're reading? And this, of course, could be relevant to a deaf person. It also could be relevant to a person who can't hear because he stuffs his ears, right? And we've discussed in the past whether or not Shema, at the very beginning of this parak, whether Shema means Bechol Lashon Shata Shomea, right, in any language, or Shema means Tishma Liyaznecha Mashem Motzim Mipicha. And Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that the word Shema means that you have to hear the Kriyat Shema. If you can't hear it, you're not Yotze. And the Gemara by analogy is going to apply this to the case of a Cheresh who's physically incapable of hearing the Megillah. And therefore, he's not Yotze. That's Rabbi Yossi's Shita. However, the Tanakhama of that Mishnah in Brocho says, HaKoreh Shema V'lo Yishmi Yilaz No Yotze. And he fulfills his chiyuv, despite the fact that he doesn't hear the Megillah. He doesn't hear the Kriya Shema, meaning the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is Kriya without Shmir. Rabbi Yossi says, no, there are two conditions to the mitzvah of Shema. You need Kriya and you need Shmir. Now, if we apply that yardstick to the case of Kriya Samegillah, that whenever the Torah requires Kriya, or for that matter, whenever the Rabbana require Kriya, modeling after the Torah, you need Shmir. Now, in the case of a Cheresh, since he's not capable of hearing the Megillah, he would not be Yotze. Kriyas HaMegillah can't be Motzi anyone else. And according to Rabbi Yossi, he would be excluded from Kriyat Shema as well. That's all according to Rabbi Yossi, the Tanakhama. Now, one of the mysteries of this sugya, which again, we're not going to solve this mystery now, so we just have to accept it sort of with Amunas Chachamim, is that the Tanakhama, the Mishnah in Brachos, is Rabbi Yehuda. Again, we're going to have to rack our brains to figure out how, the Rishonim try to figure out how the Gemara knows that the Tanakhama is Rabbi Yehuda. But in any event, the Tanakhama, and that's Rabbi Yehuda, says, HaKor Yishma V'lo Shmi Yozno Yotza. And the Gemara now assumes that our Mishnah here in Masechta Megillah could not possibly reflect the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, because our Mishnah completely disqualifies the Cheresh. Totally. Meaning even b'di'evet. And that's against Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda certainly says that you could be Yotze even if you're deaf, even if lo ishmi liyozno. If he said it in a mitzvah d'oraisa that you could be Yotze, namely Kriyat Shema, how much more so in the case of a mitzvah d'rabbanon? Says the Gemara, Mimai, I'm going to play the devil's advocate. How do you know that this Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi? And therefore, you're assuming d'yevet nami lo, that when the Mishnah says that if the Cheresh reads the Megillah, no one is fulfilling that mitzvah, even b'di'evet, is completely out of the picture. Dilma, let me be argumentative, and let me say that Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yossi in Brachos. Again, that's the Gemara identifies Rabbi Yossi as the Chachamim in the Mishnah in Kriyat Shema. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that even if you didn't hear the Kriyat Shema, and for that matter, even if you didn't hear the Megillah, you're Yotze. So now we're saying the following, that our Mishnah, in the case of Cheresh, is telling you that you can be Yotze even though you're deaf and you don't hear the Megillah. And that's Rabbi Yossi, and that's Rabbi Yehuda. But again, you're going to have to add the following. It means that when our Mishnah says chutz mi'cheresh, it means if you have two candidates to read the Megillah, one is a person who hears, the other is a person who cannot hear, then you give first dibs to the person who can hear. And that's called l'chatchila. We don't, you know, the cheresh is a nice fellow, but he's not your first choice candidate to be the koreas ha-Megillah. But b'di'evet, well, let's say, for example, b'shas hadchak, you have no one else to read the Megillah except for a person who's deaf. Shapir domin. He could, you know, take him out of the bullpen and let him pitch the balls. And that would reflect the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Now, at this particular juncture, the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yossi, Masechta Brachos, is of the opinion that HaKori Yashma V'lo Yashmi Yosno Yotzo B'di'evet. Rabbi Yehuda is not advocating that L'chatchila, he is the perfect choice for Kriyat Shema. Now again, you have to know whether or not this shall make own in Kriyat Shema. That's not for us right now. Oh. So the Gemara says, Lo Salke Daitoch, it's impossible to think that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and when it says that Cheresh is excluded, it's only L'chatchila, he's not your first choice candidate. But in the Eved, the Mishnah would say that you're Yotze even with the Kriya of a Cheresh, which is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah in Kriyat Shema. No, it cannot be. De Katani, Cheresh, Dumya, De Shota, De Katan. our Mishnah presents Chayrish Shot V'Kadin as one in one breath, and it means it's the same din. And therefore, Ma Shot V'Kadin D'Evinami Lo. Certainly, in these two cases, they're not chayv at all. They're la bachiyu because Chayrish Shot V'Kadin la bnei dean ninu. And if that be the case, Avcherish the Eved Nami Lo. Apparently, the Mishnah is telling you that even with the Eved, you are not Yotze in the case of a Cherish. So this could not possibly be Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says that a Cherish would be Yotze with the Eved. Okay. And now at this point, the Gemara wants to suggest that maybe we could split the Mishnah into parts. There's no need to read the Mishnah as Cherish Yotze Katan in one breath. But Vidilma, Haki the Isa, Vahaki the Isa. Each one has his own din. I mean, there are three, so it's an odd number. So two and one, right? So two out of the three is even with the Eved, you're not Yotzi, that's Cheresh, that's Shota Vekot. But Cheresh is only Lechatchila, we don't allow, if all things are equal, we don't allow the Cheresh to read the Megillah. But with the Eved, we certainly can recognize and validate the kriya of a cheresh, and therefore our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. So basically, the whole agenda of this sugya is to try to explain our Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the strange thing is that if you would have asked me for my agenda, I would have said my agenda is to explain this Mishnah according to anybody but Rabbi Yehuda. He's the only one I would have excluded. Why would I have excluded him? Because he's the one who's going to argue against what? Against Katan. So for the fact that he's arguing against Katan, it means he's not the author of the Mishnah. And again, we're going to have to split hairs over here. We're going to say that, you know, he's the author of Cheresh V'Shota, but when it comes to Katan, he mentions, or the Mishnah formulates the Shita of the Chachamim, and then Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. You know, we're really splitting hairs over here. Now, I have a footnote here that I wanted to share with you. He quotes this in the name of the Pnei Yoshua. He says the following. He says, Lahalon, later on in the Gemara, we're going to find out that a katan, if he's igil l'chinuch, is motzi achirim yidei chovasam afil l'chatchila. Meaning that if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who's machshir a katan, and we're talking about a katan specifically, a katan shigil l'chinuch, then he's a first choice candidate for reading the Megillah. But says the Pnei Yoshua, at this point in time, then the Gemara is assuming that katan has the same status as a shoteh, in which case the katan is completely excluded. That's a katan shalohi gilachim. So as I said to you in the outset, we're going to have to get into the nitty-gritty details about the difference between two categories of a katan. There's a katan who's similar to a shoteh, and he's a katan shalohi gilachinuch. And then there's a katan who's on a much higher level than a shoteh. He does dip into a chiyuv to some extent, and that's a katan shigilachinuch. So please note that as we go along. The Gemara now says the following. I'm not going to be able to accommodate you and interpret the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda. Midik Tani Sefer Rabbi Yehuda Machshav Katan Michal Dereisha. Excuse me, Lav Rabbi Yehuda. From the fact that Rabbi Yehuda is rejecting Katan, it means that he wasn't the author of the Mishnah. The Mishnah puts Katan together with Cheresh and Shota. Apparently, Katan is excluded, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. Katan is included in the mitzvah of Megillah, and he can be motzi others in the mitzvah of Megillah. Now, there's a whole line here which I have in parentheses. Do you have the parentheses as well? You have that?
I have no parentheses.
You have it without parentheses?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. That's interesting. I have it in parentheses. Because my Gemara reflects Rashi. Rashi says that you should not be goreis this whole section. And by the way, this Gemara is a grafted Gemara from Masechta Brachos. There, this whole line is completely omitted in the Gemara Brachos.
He has it here on the
Agos Sabach.
Yeah.
Oh, what does he have? He has that line in the Agos Sabach, or he takes it out in Agos Sabach?
And he takes it out in Agos Sabach.
Okay. So the Agos HaBach is really pointing to this Rashi who says that this whole line is to be taken out. Well, let's leave this line for the time being. V'dilma kula
apparently Ksavyan agrees with Rashi and leaves it out.
Okay, so that's good news, if you like. I'm always, a big fan of Rashi. Anyway, V'dilma kula Rabbi Yehuda, it means that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah. I, Rabbi Yehuda, says that I disagree in the case of Katan, and I hold that the Katan is kosher. The answer is he's not disagreeing, he's embellishing, he's interpreting the Mishnah. Trei gavni katan katani lei. The ratio of the Mishnah before Rabbi Yehuda steps in is referring to one specific category of a katan. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to add the second category of a katan. And the fundamental difference is that the Mishnah's category of a katan, who's lo igilchin, he's not kosher. But Rabbi Yehuda is going to add a different category of a katan, who is capable of reading the Megillah, and he's a bar chiyuva chisurei mechzer v'hachi tani. Here's the way we have to read the Mishnah: Hakol sherem likosas haMegillah chutz micherei shota v'katan. And now we're going to say that this kind of a katan is the katan that's similar to a cheresh and a shota, or at least similar to a shota, correct? Because again, we're still arguing that cheresh is kosher b'di'evid. So maybe the katan here possibly could be kosher b'di'evid, but let's assume that the katan here has the same status as the shota. And here's where we have a chisurei mechzer. We have to add a piece to the Mishnah of Amedvar Mamurim. When do we say that a katan is completely excluded from Megillah and he cannot read the Megillah on behalf of others? Because shelo igia lechinuch, he's below the age of chinuch for kiyum mitzvahs. Okay, let's assume that he's let's say 8 years old, and in such a case, he is excluded from the mitzvah of chinuch, and therefore from the mitzvah of Megillah. Of a katan shegiel chinuch, what's the deal with a katan shegiel chinuch? So here the Gemara throws what I call a bit of a curveball. What I mean to say is that the Tanakama becomes the more liberal. He becomes the mekil. Why? Because the Gemara insists that katan shegiel chinuch, which is now a whole new section of the Mishnah that we don't have, and we're going to inject it into the Mishnah based on the principle of chisurei mechzera, is afilu lechatchila. He could be motzi others, even lechatchila. And that's going to be Rabbi Yehuda's comment, although again, at this point, Rabbi Yehuda's name hasn't been mentioned, but we have to add the shin. She Rabbi Yehuda machshir v'katan, meaning that this distinction that the Mishnah is making now, min akotza lakotza, from one polar extreme to the other. If it's a katan shaloi gilachinuch, he's completely excluded like a shota. Again, that's questionable, but that's what I'm suggesting right now. And if he's a katan gilachinuch, he's a first choice candidate for reading the Megillah, even lechatchila, and that's called Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. So now it comes out the following, that according to this Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Mishnah. He's not coming to argue with the Mishnah. He's coming to qualify and add the case of Katan Shegiel Lechinuch, who's Lechatchila Kosher, for reading the Megillah. In the case of Cheresh, if this Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, then Cheresh is not your first choice candidate, but Cheresh B'di'eved is okay. Now we're a little bit in a bind over here, because what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go back to the Mishnah in Brachos of Kriyat Shema. Now, we said that the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yossi in Kriyat Shema, whose machshir a cheresh, is Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require Shmia. Well, in the case of our Mishnah here in Megillah, Cheresh is only B'di'evet, right? Because if we attribute our Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda, it says in the Mishnah that Cheresh is excluded, Chutz min HaCheresh. And now we're saying that Chutz min HaCheresh means Lechatchila we don't want a Cheresh, but B'di'evet we can be Yotze through a Cheresh. So the Gemara right away asks the following question: V'mayu Kimta Ki Rabbi Yehuda is saying that our Mishnah reflects the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Now, when we go back to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, we're going back to the Mishnah in Brachos, and there, Rabbi Yehuda says that if you read Kriya Shema and you didn't hear the words of the Kriya Shema, Yotza, you fulfill your mitzvah. We're going to have to say that's only b'di'evet. Now, how does Gemara mean that's only? How does Gemara know that that sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yossi, is b'di'evet? Because we're equating Rabbi Yehuda in Cheresh in Brachos in Kriyat Shema with Rabbi Yehuda here in Megillah, and Rabbi Yehuda in Megillah clearly is saying that lechatchila we should exclude the Cheresh, but b'di'evet is Yotzei. That therefore, by analogy, in the case of Kriyat Shema, we're telling you that even Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a Cheresh or anyone who didn't hear the Kriyat Shema is Yotze, it means B'di'evet, that only B'di'evet is Yotze. So now we have a perfect equation between Rabbi Yehuda in Kriyat Shema and Rabbi Yehuda in Kriyat Samigila, that in both cases a Cheresh is excluded L'chatchila B'kasha B'di'evet. So now we're in trouble. Why are we in trouble now? Elohad Tani, we have a brisa of some have the gifts of Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rab Shimon ben Pazi, and it says there the Cheresh Hamedaber V'Eino Shomea Torem Lechatchila. Now, when we say Lechatchila here, we have to understand that the ideal way of implementing the mitzvah of Hafarshas Truma is to recite a bracha. And presumably, reciting a bracha has the same status as reciting Kriyat Shema, reciting Megillah, means that if you have a requirement of listening, and a Cheresh is not capable of hearing, in this case, the bracha, is that lechatchila, the last person in the world you want to, appoint for your shliach to be mafish your truma, is a cheresh, because he's not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of the bracha on the hafrasha. And then we understand that this brisa of Yehuda Bered Rav Shimon Pazi says what? That cheresh hamedaber v'eino shomea torem lechatchila? Because he's going even to another extreme level. We had one possibility that the listening element is that condition is an absolute critical requirement, and that's going to be Rabbi Yossi, and therefore a Cheresh, if he reads Kriyat Shema, he's not Yotze, and if he reads Megillah, he's not Yotze, he's not capable of hearing, that's it. Then we had Rabbi Yehuda, who's one notch above, and Rabbi Yehuda says, although a Cheresh who cannot hear is not your ideal first choice candidate, but nevertheless b'di'evet Yotze, and that's true in both Kriyat Shema and in Kriyas HaMegillah. But now we have a third sheet, the most extreme, on the more liberal or permissible element level, and that's Torem Lechatchila. Mani. Mimashach, I don't understand who is the author of this brisa. In other words, not who physically, but you know, what sheet is he representing? E Rabbi Yehuda, if he goes with the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, which is codified in the Mishnah in Brachos and Kriyat Shema, is the Eved in Lechatchila Lo. And here we're saying that a Cheresh Lechatchila should be your candidate for Hafrashas Truma, even though he can't hear the Bracha. E Rabbi Yossi, then we're even worse shape, because even the Eved Nami Lo, hearing is absolutely critical. And at this point, the Gemara is not willing to differentiate between Brachos, in the case of a Birchas HaMitzvah and Truma, and Kriyat Shema and Kriyas HaMegillah, they're all lumped together. Ve'elamai, we're going to have to assume that this brisa, because we only have two possible shitos here, reflects the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, if that be the case, then we're reinterpreting Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda, afilu lechatchila, that Rabbi Yehuda says that there's no requirement of Shmiah, and even lechatchila, you could have a Cheresh fulfill any of the mitzvahs that we've been talking about, even though he doesn't hear. Well, wait a minute. You're not going to be able to just simply say minakotz alakotz, that there are only two shitas here, and Rabbi Yossi is saying that hearing is critical and you're not Yotze, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you don't even need lechatchila to hear it, because hadesanya in Birkas HaMazon we have the following brisa, lo yivarech other Birkas HaMazon belibo v'imberech yotza. Clearly we're saying that lechatchila you have to listen and hear the Birkas HaMazon is mani. Now you've just jacked up Rabbi Yehuda to the level of lechatchila, that even lechatchila you don't have to hear it, whether it's Kriyat Shema, Kriyas HaMegillah, whether it's Brachos. So what are you going to do with this brisa that clearly says that in Birkas HaMosa L'chadchil you have to hear the Birkas HaMosa? And V'lo Rav Yehuda, this doesn't fit with V'lo Rav Yossi, can't fit possibly with Rav Yossi, who says that it's absolutely indispensable that you hear it in Megillah and Kriyat Shema. So how can you tell me that if he was Mahara Bolivo, he thought of the Birkas HaMazon, then Yotza, then at least B'dievet he is Yotze? So again, it's not Rav Yossi, because Rav Yossi says it's possible B'dievet if you don't have Shmir. And here the B'dievet situation is that you are Yotze with Birkas HaMazon without Shmir. It's not Rav Yehuda who says Afilu L'chadchila, because we had to explain the price of Truma and attribute it to Rabbi Yehuda, then we jacked it up to even L'chadchila. So the Gemara says, "E Rabbi Yosef afiv the Eved Namilo." Fine. Okay. Now we turn to Daf Chaf Omid Aleph. We Olam, this brisa reflects the shita of Rabbi Yehuda or Yehuda Bereid Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, and this brisa now is going to be identified with Rabbi Yehuda. If so, you come to the conclusion that Rabbi Yehuda allows even when you can't hear it, afil l'chadchila. And our Mishnah, therefore, is now going to be irreconcilable with Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because our Mishnah says that Chiresh, in the best case scenario, is only b'dieved. Is then our Mishnah is going to be now we're going to reinterpret our Mishnah. And we're going to have to say that our Mishnah holds that even b'dieved you're not Yotze, which would mean that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yossi. V'lo kasha. Now you'll ask me, well, what do we do with Birkas HaMazon, right? Because you've just established that Rabbi Yehuda holds even l'chadchila, it's mutter if you don't hear it, even though you don't hear it. Rabbi Yossi says it's absolutely critical and you're not Yotze if you don't hear it. So what do we do now with the price of Birkas HaMazon, which seems to fall between the drops? It's neither here nor there, because it says l'chadchila he should not make it belev, make the bracha belev without hearing it, but the evidence is yotze. And the answer is ha, didei hadrabe. The brisa of Yehuda bereid Rav Shimon Pazi is, which establishes that even l'chadchila you don't have to hear the bracha, right? In the case of Birchas Truma, that's didei. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda himself. But Hadrabe, the brisa of Birkas HaMazon, which makes the difference, the distinction between L'chadchila and B'dieved, and allows only B'dieved the absence of Shmir, that's Rabbi Yehuda, the name of his Rebbe. And Rashi identifies his Rebbe as Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. His father had a very nice name, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And his opinion is that l'chadchila you have to hear it, but the evan you don't say even without hearing it. But l'chadchila that should be avoided. So we now have three shitos. And the maskana is, although it's a little bit confusing, because the price of Truma, it says Rabbi Yehuda. So again, I'm not sure if it's the same Rabbi Yehuda, but in any event, this is Rabbi Yehuda himself, whereas the price of Birkas HaMazon is Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So even though Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the Rebbe of Rabbi Yehuda, and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the situation of Birkas HaMazon is such that b'dieved yotze, but not l'chadchila, Rabbi Yehuda himself, a Talmud of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he went one step further, and he said even l'chadchila you are Yotze, and you're a perfectly ideal candidate, even though you don't hear the reading and the recitation of Birkas HaMazon, etc., etc. Now we have to swing back and summarize that our Mishnah here in Masechet Megillah, with regard to Chereish, now becomes Rav Yossi, or for that matter, could be Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and that's well. We'd rather take it with Rabbi Yossi. I'll tell you why. Because our initial interpretation of the Mishnah was that Chereish is Dumi the Shota, which means that it's absolutely critical and it's indispensable. So that means that just like in the case of Shota, you're not Yotze at all, so too in the case of Chereish, you're not Shota at all. That would have to reflect the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. And then we're going to say that with regard to Katan, there may be a machlokas in between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, as far as the status of a katan shigiel chinuch is concerned. Whereas the Tanakam excludes the katan, and Rav Yehuda validates the kriya of the katan. Now, as far as kriyat shema is concerned, we have Rav Yossi who says that you're not yotzi without shmiel li'oznov, and that's the Rav Yossi here of a cheresh in the case of kriyat shema. And our mission is Rav Yossi. As far as the shita of Rav Elazar ben Azariah is concerned, he has this middle shita, whereas Rav Yehuda says you don't need shmiel, and even lechatchila cheresh is a perfectly good candidate. Rav Elazar ben Azariah is not going to go as far as Rav Yossi to pasul his kriya, but he's not going to go as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned to allow that kriya lechatchila. So I think we'll stop here. This is a good place to stop. And we'll finish up to the Mishnah so that tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we can do the next Mishnah. Okay then? I wish everyone a great day. Thank you so much.